Welcome to another episode of GBB Live. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a marvelous start to your Monday. Draft week is finally here, and in my opinion, this is, you know, outside of the actual basketball season, the most exciting three-week period, perhaps in all of sports off seasons when it comes to the NBA offseason. You know, over the next few weeks, we'll have the draft as well as free agency. Of course, through that, you know, the NBA sets itself apart from other sports leagues with the amount of big-name trades that happened. We just saw the latest example of that yesterday. We'll discuss that a bit later on in the episode. But definitely an exciting week, and we'll have you covered here on GBB Live and with all the great podcasts across the Bluff City Media Podcast Network, No Bluffing Podcast, Next Gen Podcast, 901 Grizz, as well as Free Basketball. So many different podcasts to enjoy. Make sure you subscribe to the different Bluff City podcast feeds for the latest when it comes to all things trades, draft, and things such as that that could happen with the Grizzlies this week. My name is Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter. On today's episode, we're going to go through quickly, you know, what the Grizzlies' needs are this offseason, talk a bit about the different avenues in which they could address those needs, and then we'll get into some different thoughts, you know, coming off, you know, of a few rumors that are out there that we've heard about the Grizzlies, some action that's already happened in the NBA, and then finish up today's episode with a few draft thoughts as well. But definitely want to say, when it comes to this week, you know, I know every NBA team, you know, their fan bases and those who cover the team, yes, they're going to speculate that this week is exciting. And typically, you'll see some sort of move from nearly every NBA team this week. But it's especially exciting when it comes to this front office and the Memphis Grizzlies. Because as has been discussed in detail, nearly every draft pick that the Zach Kleiman era has picked in previous drafts, they moved up to do it. So you're at least likely to see maneuvering going on draft night. But it's also the week leading up to the draft where you could see some exciting things happen. You go back 2 years ago, though it was a little bit later on in the calendar due to a schedule impacted by COVID. But Monday of draft week 2 years ago, that was when the Steven Adams Jonas Valanciunas trade happened. If you go back 4 years ago today, back in 2019, it was the Wednesday before the draft. That's when the Grizzlies made the trade of Mike Conley to the Jazz. That was 4 years ago today. The trade that really started all of this. That was a trade that the Grizzlies are still benefiting from when it comes to Zach Kleiman making moves on top of other moves. So the Grizzlies especially are one of the more active teams in recent memory during this week. And a big reason why is because Memphis knows that a lot of what it's looking to do, a lot of value can be found in trades. And with this creative as this front office is, when it comes to the different ways it can make trades, that's why they continue to focus on the trade route as being a way to upgrade this roster. So again, a lot of speculation out there on what the Grizzlies potentially can do, and there's many different ways that they potentially can go when it comes to a trade. I would expect that not only one, but maybe multiple moves could be out there for the Grizzlies this week, and it'll certainly be entertaining to watch. But when it comes to the trade route, or when it comes to, you know, the MLE, you know, we talked about, I had a great episode with Keith Smith of Spot Track. Make sure you check it out. It was this past Saturday. Brought Keith in because the other factor that goes into this offseason for the Grizzlies and every NBA team is the fact that there's a new CBA that's coming into effect on July 1st. And this CBA is really going to tighten the limitations of teams that spin big. There's new parameters in place that teams have to be aware of when it comes to spending big as they try to put championship rosters together. And that impacts the Grizzlies as they're going to start paying their core. Jaren Jackson Jr. will be in the second year of his extension that he signed 2 years ago. Ja Morant will be, you know, earning the first year of his major extension he signed last summer. And then, of course, Desmond Bain will sign his big extension that'll begin in 24-25. This summer. So the Grizzlies are going to start to become very expensive when it comes to their core. And I talked with Keith a bit about, you know, the different, you know, impacts that could have on what the Grizzlies do. And the good news is that the Grizzlies are in a pretty good position. But we'll discuss the avenues where the Grizzlies could address their needs in just a moment, but what specifically are those needs? What areas of the roster, what are the Grizzlies really focused on when it comes to their needs? And it's no secret that, you know, a few of these needs are needs that the Grizzlies have known about, their fans have known about, the Grizzlies have, you know, addressed them, you know, in terms of, you know, recognizing that these are needs going into the offseason. They did it mostly at the end of the year media session. But the big need, of course, is the need for a starting three, a starting wing. And the best way for me to describe it is this, is that I feel like the Grizzlies know, especially if you know that Steven Adams is going to be healthy, I feel like the Grizzlies know that they could put different varieties of lineups on the court that feature Ja, Bane, Luke, Jaren, and Steven Adams. Ja, Bane, and Luke as your 1, 2, and 3, and then Jaren at the center, that's one lineup. And then Ja, Bane with Jaren at the center and Steven at the 5, that's another lineup. The Grizzlies really need an established player that could play the 3-4, that could play the 3 or the 4, decent to good defender, and someone that can knock down outside shots. At the very least, that's what they need in terms of their big acquisition this summer. Now, you'd love to go beyond that and get a player of the level of Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby, and the Grizzlies may still make a move to get that type of player. But at the very least, this Grizzlies roster needs a starting 3 that also can play the 4 in some lineups, can provide good defensive production, but also can knock down shots. That's the primary need for the Grizzlies this summer. But the second need also deals with the wing, in that you need wing depth. Look at the two teams that were in the finals this year. In various different ways, Michael Porter Jr., Christian Braun, Bruce Brown, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope all provided great value to Denver to help them win the title. But the Heat also had very good production from their wings, such as Jimmy Butler, obviously, Max Strus, and others on the Heat. For the Nuggets, it was defense, it was outside shooting that really allowed for from their wings that really supported Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. For the Heat, it was the various wings that stepped up and gave up those outlier performances, you know, during the playoffs that supported Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. So wing depth is truly an advantage. If you can have productive wing depth, not only from your primary starting wing, but also from, you know, different options off the bench that you can utilize in different ways, that is a very good advantage to have in the playoffs. And with the Grizzlies' focus being on the playoffs, not just finding a starting 3 that can also be a 4, but also getting some development this summer from the likes of Zaire Williams, Jake LaRavia, and David Roddy, that's going to be crucial for this Grizzlies team to truly have the best chance possible to contend for a title moving forward. Because again, those teams that can have good wing depth, especially that can have multiple bodies that can effectively defend on the wing, those are typically teams that will advance in the playoffs. So the Grizzlies getting development from the combo forwards wings that they already have on the roster, that is a primary, you know, hope or need for this offseason as well. And then you get into other needs that, you know, yes, you would like for them to be addressed, but they're not necessarily as high of a priority. For instance, the Grizzlies probably could use a young combo guard prospect on the roster. They traded DeAnthony Melton last year as a way for them to establish, you know, some combo forward depth when they, you know, drafted LaRavia and Roddy in last year's draft. The thought was them extending John Conchar. Maybe he could be that young combo guard option behind Ja and Bane, but it just didn't work out. Jiddy just did not have a good season. You know, I still think that Jiddy definitely has a spot on this roster, but it's probably more as that 11th or 12th guy that can fill in the rotation once injuries occur. So a combo guard option, especially if the Grizzlies, you know, want to make a play in the draft, I think a combo guard prospect out of this draft, which is a strength of this draft, could be an option for them to look at. So a combo guard prospect is probably a need as well. And perhaps another need is definitely the fact that the Grizzlies probably could use a one-year deal, cheap type, you know, sizable big. Because, yes, you already have good front court depth on paper. Jaren Jackson Jr., Steven Adams, Santi Aldama, Brandon Clark, Xavier Tillman, as well as Kenneth Lofton. But you do have some question marks around those players. You know, Steven Adams dealing with his injury. Hopefully he'll be healthy by the start of the season. I think it's very unlikely, as Keith Smith pointed out, that Brandon Clark is going to be, you know, of any value next year just because of the type of injury that he had. Jaren Jackson Jr. and Santi Aldama, I think you're fine with that. And I think that utilizing Xavier Tillman and Kenneth Lofton where you can, I think you're fine with that as well. But if Steven Adams is going to be limited at all to start next season, I do think another sizable center with good rebounding skills will be a need for this Grizzlies roster, but it's not necessarily as much of a priority because you could get that from, you know, Steven Adams if he's healthy, and I also don't think that you're going to, you know, necessarily need to put major financial, you know, commitment to that. I think that that's the type of need that can be found, you know, in free agency as you get closer to the season, but another sizable big can make sense. So definitely a starting wing. The development of wing depth from players that are already on the Grizzlies roster, a potential combo forward or combo guard prospect behind Ja, behind Bane, that could offer long-term depth in that area, maybe, you know, a focus for the Grizzlies, and also an established sizable backup big. You know, the last two are more of luxury priorities, more of priorities if they come your way in the right situation for the Grizzlies to focus on. So, you know, no surprises there. We know what the Grizzlies' needs are this offseason, but what about potentially the ways in which the Grizzlies can address those needs? And of course, you've got, you know, the main way that we, you know, alluded to earlier in the episode, talking about the fact that the Grizzlies could go the route that they normally do, trading players that they already have under contract. You also have the Dylan Brooks sign and trade option, in which, you know, Dylan Brooks, you know, even though he's an unrestricted free agent, as Keith Smith and I talked about during Saturday's episode of GBB Live, you could use a Dylan sign and trade as a way, you know, to potentially, at the very least, get an exception spot for a later trade to occur. That could certainly be a possibility. And then the MLE, that full MLE, which the Grizzlies have available to them for $12 million, you could use that towards one player or you could use that on multiple players. That really is the Grizzlies' route when it comes to free agency. But trading players already under contract, the Dylan Brooks sign and trade, and the MLE, those are really the three avenues that the Grizzlies have in place to be able to address the four needs that I had mentioned, you know, along obviously with the draft. But the thing that I'll say is this, is that the trade of players already under contract, that really, again, remains the strongest way for the Grizzlies to gain the highest impact through a move or maybe multiple moves to really improve this roster. Because when you look at the assets that the Grizzlies have, obviously the best assets that this team has are the fact that they own all their picks in the future. And when it comes to the money matching aspect of things, Tyus Jones is the best asset this team has. If you consider the fact that Luke Kennard, it doesn't really make sense to trade him. Now, I do think that, you know, trading to Luke Kennard in the right deal probably does make sense. If it takes Luke to go get an OG or to go get a McHale, you do it all day long. Same deal with Santi Aldama. But if we put to the side McHale, and I'll be honest, if we put to the side that, you know, OG, you know, may or may not make sense, we'll talk about him in just a moment. The thing is that Tyus Jones at least is the most sensible trade asset on this roster that would be attractive to other teams. I talked about that in last week's GBB Live of why Tyus Jones is an attractive trade chip to really any team in the NBA. But beyond just, you know, the assets specifically that the Grizzlies can use, the reason why the trade makes the most sense, the reason why the trade is the way for the Grizzlies to get the most impact, to get the most value in terms of acquiring pieces that could upgrade this roster, is because of its timing on the transaction timeline for the offseason. During the draft is typically when NBA teams can gain the most value of trading their pick packages along with an established NBA player in a package that could lead to a talent. During draft week and up to the draft is typically the time where it usually is where the atmosphere is the most ripe for you to be able to make a significant move if that is a goal for your team in the offseason. And make no mistake, that definitely is a goal for this Grizzlies team. So that's why when it comes to this week and leading up to the draft, and again, it may not happen until draft night, but that's why this week is so important and there's so much speculation, anticipation, and excitement, because this is the most sensible time for the Grizzlies to pounce on a big move based off the value that could be out there for the trade assets that they have. Now, I will say one thing about the trade specifically itself. there are scenarios this year where you may not necessarily see the Grizzlies make their quote-unquote big move, that all-in move that all the tea leaves, you know, seem to indicate the Grizzlies are looking to make. That may not necessarily happen on draft night, and it may not necessarily include picks from this draft. There was a report yesterday from Mike Scotto of Hoops Hype talking about the fact that the Grizzlies were looking to trade future draft picks for a wing. And he put together, you know, the fact that the Grizzlies had had interest in OG Anunoby in the past. But to me, a key thing in there is future draft picks. You could see scenarios where the Grizzlies want to focus on keeping their picks in the 23 draft, perhaps getting a young prospect that they like, and then in the days following the draft, they could combine future draft picks, such as two draft picks in 2024 and beyond, and other picks as well, with Tyus Jones to go make the move that they feel makes sense. So it's not as if draft night is some sort of deadline, and then after that, the Grizzlies are basically, you know, with limited assets. They can still put together a good trade package to go get the significant wing addition that they need, even if it doesn't happen on draft night or involve this year's pick. So something to keep in mind, even if a move is not made by Thursday night, that doesn't mean a significant move is not coming in the days ahead between the draft and free agency. So a trade remains the way for the Grizzlies to make their roster addition. That's really the way for the Grizzlies to be aggressive in upgrading their roster. And then because of where the other avenues fall on the transaction timeline this summer, such as the Dylan Seiden trade, such as the MLE, those are going to be utilized after free agency. So they're going to happen. They're going to be available after a lot of teams have done their heavy lifting. So if we were to use Dylan Brooks in a sign and trade to go get a trade exception for next year, if we were to use the MLE and maybe split, you know, the $12 million in paying two different players to be a part of the roster, those moves are likely going to be done to replenish the roster after a major trade has happened or to have a trade exception available during the season if an injury were to occur or if we had a clear area where we felt like we can add, you know, a needed veteran going into next season. The Dylan Brooks sign and trade in the MLEs are more available to us to tinker with the roster, make moves on the margins as we move forward, than they are avenues to go to make major upgrades. So the trade option, and Zach Kleiman alluded to this during the end of the year media sessions, that remains the number one way for the Grizzlies to upgrade the roster, and then the Dylan Brooks sign and trade and the MLE options are more ways to replenish the roster as the Grizzlies gear up for next year's playoffs. So when it comes to that trade, what makes sense for the Grizzlies now? We know the suspension of Ja Morant. We know it's 25 games. And whether or not the Grizzlies and Ja Morant are able to get that appealed remains to be seen. But I stand by the opinion that I've had, you know, for months now and that others have had, you know, as this offseason has started as well. Even with it now known that Ja Morant will be away from the team, the Grizzlies will be without Ja Morant for an extended period of time to start next season. That should have no impact on whether or not you trade Tyus Jones this offseason. Now, I talked last time on the last solo edition of GBB Live, I talked about why Tyus Jones is attractive as a trade piece. But from the Grizzlies' perspective, the other thing that stands out is that Tyus Jones, you don't trade him for assets. You don't trade him for a late first in 2026. You don't trade him for 2 seconds. You don't make that move. Tyus Jones means more to the Grizzlies next year than that type of move. But Tyus Jones also is coming up on what logically is going to be his last season in a Memphis Grizzlies uniform. He's making $14 million this year. Ja Morant, even with his suspension occurring, Ja Morant is going to make upwards of $30, $32, $33 million this year. In other words, the Grizzlies are going to be paying somewhere around $45 million to their 1-2 combination at point guard. This season, it makes sense to do that, and that's how the Grizzlies line this up, because of the fact that Tyus Jones, you know, on this young roster still makes sense, but now it makes even more sense with the fact that Ja Morant is suspended. So this year, sure, it makes sense. But beyond this year, as the Grizzlies get more expensive and it's going to become a lot harder to add significant talent to this roster money-wise, it's just not sustainable to pay $45, $50 million to a 1-2 combination at the point guard position. Especially if your best player is your starting point guard. For that reason, and also the fact that Tyus Jones, again, has value as an expiring contract, as a steady and trustworthy point guard, and the fact that Tyus Jones wants to be a starting point guard, there is no better time than now to trade Tyus Jones. Because even if you kept him during the season and you traded him at the deadline, I don't necessarily know if the Grizzlies are going to have as many options available to them or if he's going to be as valuable then as he is now when it comes to him as a trade chip. What if Tyus Jones goes into next season and potentially doesn't have the greatest start to, you know, the 23-24 season? Now, last year, he fell off a bit. His career year was 21-22, and then he fell off a bit last year. I think that Tyus Jones is still going to be just fine as a starting point guard, but the point that I'm getting at is that right now, you know Tyus Jones has value. And you also know that with the money that you're trading Tyus Jones, it probably makes more sense to allocate that money to a starting wing beyond this year than Tyus Jones. So the point that I'm getting at is that, yeah, you don't trade Tyus Jones just to trade him, but I also don't think that you hold on to Tyus Jones unless you could just trade him for an absolute home run. In other words, I think that there are more options beyond an OG or a McHale. If a player of that caliber doesn't work out in a trade for the Grizzlies, I don't think that means that you don't trade Tyus Jones. I think there are other wings out there, like a Dorian Finney-Smith, maybe even, you know, a Robert Covington, if you got him in the right deal, if you got, you know, an extra asset with Covington. I think that there are veteran wings that are out there under multiple years of control that make sense to trade Tyus Jones for, even if those wings aren't of the caliber of an OG or a Mikal Bridges. Because in those wings, in those veteran wings, like a Dorian Finney-Smith, that type of profile is a bigger need to the Grizzlies roster, and you also know that that type of player has had more success during the playoffs than a Tyus Jones. So if you can trade Tyus for a wing that you know is likely going to be a smarter use of money beyond this year, and that can offer similar above value in the playoffs, I think you make the move all day long. It's got to be the right player. It's got to be a clear upgrade over Dylan Brooks. It's got to be someone that can be reliable. But I still think even if you can't hit the home run, if you can get a good double in terms of like a Dorian Finney-Smith or a wing of that caliber, you still make the move to trade Tyus Jones because I think it's the smartest use of asset allocation, salary allocation, and also doing what you can to improve this roster. I think that is the best way to do it instead of just simply keeping Tyus to navigate the potential rough waters at the start of the season without Ja Morant. And of course, when it comes to potential big trades, it's not just the Grizzlies, you know, that you're looking at when it comes to teams making moves. Just yesterday, we once again were reminded that any star at any time could be on the move as Bradley Beal was traded from the Washington Wizards to the Phoenix Suns. And that still is a move that's looking to be completed because the Wizards are looking to potentially find a third suitor for a Chris Paul. And obviously, there's multiple ways, in my opinion, in which this trade could impact the Grizzlies. Obviously, one way is the fact that the Suns are now the most direct example of a super team in the NBA. And they are a team that has continued to be above the Grizzlies in the standings. And they're going to be a very prominent team in the Western Conference playoff picture for the next three or so seasons with the fact that they now have Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal. I'm right there with many in that they're a flawed construction. You know, the fact that they're going to have very little room to add depth could be something that could, you know, be an Achilles heel for this team as time goes on. But I think you also have to acknowledge the level of talent that they have in that trio. It's hard to say there's a more talented trio in the NBA than Durant, Booker and Beal now, and I definitely think they will find some success, though they could be, you know, again, it could be, you know, the team could be too top-heavy, and they're one injury away from not accomplishing their goal. So it certainly is relevant to the Grizzlies that the Suns have made a move to where they're going to be very strong moving forward as a Western Conference contender in future postseasons. But the other reason I think it could impact the Grizzlies is because of the other teams that are involved with this when it comes to the trade between the Suns and the Wizards. If you recall, last GBB Live, I discussed that the Wizards could be a sensible trade partner for the Grizzlies because of the fact that their GM, Michael Winger, the new decision maker for the Wizards, came from the Los Angeles Clippers. And the Clippers and Grizzlies have familiarity with the Eric Bledsoe trade from a few years ago, the Eric Bledsoe-Pat Bev trade from a few years ago, the trade deadline, the Grizzlies went and got Luke Kennard. There is familiarity with Zach Kleiman and Michael Winger. And if Chris Paul potentially is being used as a trade chip now for the Wizards, he potentially could go to the Clippers. And so if Chris Paul goes to the Clippers, what comes back from the Clippers to Washington? I think that could be of interest to the Grizzlies because there are a couple of wings, especially Robert Covington, who I think could be more of a contributor in another franchise than what he is in the Clippers. I think that this is the type of move that the Grizzlies could make that allows for them to get that starting three plus maybe more for their roster without having to give up too many assets. You know, the idea that I threw out there was if Chris Paul is now sent to the Clippers and say Robert Covington and Eric Gordon are sent from the Clippers to the Wizards, maybe the Grizzlies jump in and try to get Robert Covington, but also Denny Avdija from the Wizards, who is in the last year of his rookie contract and, you know, an extension is up in the air for him. Maybe the Grizzlies can go get a couple of players without having to give up too many assets that they could bring to the roster. Now, I know it's not exciting. I know it's not the high upside move, and I don't necessarily think this is something that the Grizzlies just absolutely spend a lot of effort on. It's an if-it-makes-sense move. But this type of move, I do think, is something the Grizzlies could do. We've seen the Grizzlies have talks before where they come in and you know, they may not necessarily be one of the main two teams in a big deal, but they come in and they have talks about being that third or fourth team to try to get an asset at a lower value. So if the Grizzlies were to, you know, come into this deal and get Robert Covington and Denny Avdija, they may have to give up Tyus Jones in exchange, but you may only have to give up what? An additional first rounder? You've now obtained your starting wing as well as other wing depth, and you still have all your assets to maybe go make another move. So this is where I'm talking about. Though the home run move for the Grizzlies remains the priority, they can have different options to pivot since they have all their assets in the future in place. They do have one or two tradable money-matching assets as well. The Grizzlies can pivot and make multiple moves if the home run move is not out there. Again, I don't think this, you know, speculative move of going to get Robert Covington and Denny Avdija is all that likely. I'm just using it as an example of how the Grizzlies can pivot to get wing depth to come into the organization that could provide the upgrade the Grizzlies need without them having to give up many assets in the process. So it's going to be very interesting to see. This one is what makes it exciting when it comes to being a Grizzlies fan now. Because of the creativity of our front office, there's always potential moves that are out there, even if the home run move doesn't make sense. And there's also always the mystery move in which the Grizzlies, you know, they're one of the teams that could pull off a move for someone that we've not even talked about as of yet. There's always that potential, and that's what makes it exciting to be a Grizzlies fan. But of course, all the talks about who potentially the Grizzlies could trade, who they could trade for, how could the trade look like, all these different things. Yes, trades certainly are going to be plenty of talk this week. But even if nothing comes to fruition, even if the Grizzlies don't make a major trade or a couple of, you know, significant trades this week, one thing we do know is that they're at least going to make some type of move when it comes to the NBA draft. And a couple more thoughts have come to mind when it comes to the Grizzlies, because between last time I did, you know, the first edition of GBB Live in this new era of the show, you know, there has been a few new news nuggets about the Grizzlies out there. One of them is that it was reported that the Grizzlies may be looking to aggressively move up in the draft. Now, what does that move up look like? We've seen the Grizzlies do various versions of moving up in the draft. It's in the first round, it's typically them moving up a few picks to get a guy that they like. Using second round picks, it's been them trading up to the 30th pick to get a guy on a first round contract that they like. I know that there is speculation, you know, and then of course, you know, in 2021, they moved up seven spots in the Steven Adams, Jonas Valanciunas draft. So the Grizzlies are always moving up, but they're doing it in different ways. I think in the 2023 draft, with the 25th pick, the Grizzlies are likely going to be moving up a few spots. The type of move that we're going to see from the Grizzlies, I don't necessarily think is them moving up 8 to 10 spots or getting into the late lottery. At least I hope it's not. I don't necessarily think in this draft that is the best type of move to make. But if the Grizzlies see a wing or potential combo guard that they like, I do think that them moving up a few spots like they did in 2019 for Brandon Clark, like they did last year for Jake LaRavia, I think that that's the type of move that they'll make. I don't necessarily think it makes sense for them to potentially use Tyus Jones like they did last year using D'Anthony Melton. I don't think trading Tyus Jones for some type of you know, significant money asset plus a draft pick, I don't think that's the move to make this year. But the Grizzlies have utilized several different versions of trades in the past to move up in the draft. But for this draft specifically, I do definitely think that there is validity to the speculation the Grizzlies are going to trade up, but I think it's them moving up from 25 to maybe 21, 22 to get a player that they really like to make sure that they get him. I think that's the type of move that makes sense. And of course, with the New Jersey Nets, with the Brooklyn Nets owning the 21 and 22 spots, that could open up conversations for a bigger deal since you've got several players on the Nets roster that the Grizzlies could potentially target in trade. So yes, I do think that there definitely is a good chance the Grizzlies move up. I think this is completely separate from them using Tyus and a pick package to go get an established NBA talent on the wings. I think the Grizzlies could potentially move up in this draft to get the combo guard that they want and have him on the four-year contract, and that's the long-term replacement for the roster spot that will be freed up by Tyus Jones being traded. That, I think, is a likelihood in this draft. The Grizzlies trading up a few spots, getting a combo guard that they like, and potentially being able to come out of this draft with another significant talent. Now, that's why I say we could see multiple moves this week. You could see Tyus in a pick package being used to go get an established NBA wing talent, and then you could see the Grizzlies moving up a few spots in the draft to get another significant talent on a, you know, rookie deal that could become a very intriguing part of the roster. And another thing that I still think needs to be watched is what the Grizzlies do with their 45th and 56th picks. Because, yeah, you're not going to necessarily get an immediate contributor. You're not going to get someone that's just absolutely going to be an immediate, you know, significant part of your team. There's a reason why players are drafted that low in the draft is because they're not first-round talents. But I do think that those spots are important to watch in this draft because I think it's an opportunity for the Grizzlies to go get players that they really like. Older prospects that they really like to provide them with some needed depth, especially when it comes to the big man position. If you look at most draft boards in this year's draft, you'll see that there are 5, 6, 7 bigs. Drew Timmy is one of these bigs. You'll see that there are 5 to 6 older bigs, 22, 23 range, that potentially could be drafted or will be undrafted free agents. But they're the type of talents that could fit what the Grizzlies are looking for. Smart, solid players, can contribute on both ends of the court, good passing bigs. So I think that the Grizzlies definitely could use one of those 2 second-round picks to get a big that they could put on a 2-way contract, for instance, and get another developmental big in the system. I think that's one route they can go. I also think that 2 University of Missouri products, Damoy Hodge and Kobe Brown, are interesting names to watch as well. This past summer, the Missouri Tigers coaching staff came to Memphis and worked with Memphis on how to establish a 5-out type of offensive strategy for the Tigers offense. So there were connections made. And I don't think it's any coincidence at all in that after Missouri had those interactions with the Grizzlies, Damoy Hodge and Kobe Brown put together two of the seasons. They became two of the players who statistically meet the Grizz guy threshold more than any other. Smart shot selection, good defensive playmaking, rebounding, passing, smart overall play. You know, I wrote several pieces in the past about which players statistically match what the Grizzlies look for in their prospects. Damoy Hodge and Kobe Brown are two of the most prominent Grizz guys in this draft. So I think that one of those two definitely could be names to watch when it comes to how the Grizzlies fill out their second-round picks in an eventual two-way spot. So definitely a lot to watch this week. It's going to be exciting. Again, the major overall takeaway is that the Grizzlies need to be aggressive in addressing the needs that they have. They need to be focused on improving this roster in a way that'll make it better for the playoffs, and they do not need to let the Ja Morant suspension have any impact on their decisions this offseason. Because at the end of the day, this team is not going to be measured by how well it navigated itself through the first 25 or whatever games they'll be without Ja Morant. This team is going to be measured. Taylor Jenkins and his coaching staff is going to be measured. Zach Kleiman is going to be measured about what they do once Ja Morant gets back in the playoffs next year. That's what they're going to be measured by. And so if that's what you're going to be measured by in terms of performance, that's what you need to base your offseason decisions on to put the roster in the best place to do well in the playoffs. So plenty of action going on, and we'll have you covered here on GBB Live as well as the wide assortment of podcasts that are available on the Bluff City Media and Grizzly Bear Blues podcast networks on Wednesday or Thursday. I believe probably late Wednesday into Thursday, we'll have another edition of GBB Live talking about what prospects in the draft potentially make the most sense for the Memphis Grizzlies. And then on Friday, we'll have a reaction podcast, obviously, to what occurs on draft night. But we've got you covered. The 901 Grizz podcast, No Bluffing podcast, the Grizz Next Gen podcast, so many different podcasts from Bluff City Media and Grizzly Bear Blues to enjoy. Make sure you check out all of them by subscribing to the Bluff City Media podcast feed. Subscribe, like, give us a 5-star review. Whatever you choose to do, just enjoy and embrace the podcast. This is the time of year to do it. It doesn't get more exciting when it comes to the NBA offseason. My name is Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter. We'll talk to you here soon on GBB Live.